This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action, and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
Let's talk about maybe a different way to approach finding off-market self-storage deals than you're currently doing right now. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the training that I offer the small investor who wants to get in the self-storage business or who wants to grow their self-storage business. You can find out about the courses, the software, the training that I offer, both free and paid for, at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. But I don't know about you, but I've gotten to the point where when I see in my inbox listings for self-storage from certain companies or certain brokers, I don't even look at them. I just delete them because I know they're going to be so overpriced for at least what we need to be doing in order to get the returns we're looking for, that it's just, I don't even look at them anymore. Do you do that as well? And many of us have been focusing on finding off-market deals. But to a large degree, I suggest that that's even broken too, how we do it. You know, I'm a storage owner myself, and I get at least 10 texts a week from people wanting to buy my facilities, or I get a call or two every week or 2 weeks, and multiple letters in the mail. In fact, I even get calls and texts for projects that I sold 5-8 years ago. I don't know where they're getting what list I'm on in the database that particular person's using, but I get multiple weekly texts asking if I want to sell a property I sold 5 or 6 years ago. The reality is, most of what most people do to prospect for off-market deals just doesn't work. So when I see or I hear or I get a letter and it says that as an owner I could probably make more money by selling off-market directly to them, I say, sure, right. And then when you finally do get an offer, it is so low, it's like, why did I waste my time? I've also discovered that most owners aren't going to burn the calories to send profit and loss statements, you know, monthly closes from their operating system, so that somebody prospecting for an off-market deal can actually have the numbers they need or want to put together a legitimate offer. So what most people do, frankly, doesn't work. Now, some of the people I've seen be successful at this, and some success I've had in the past, it takes a long time. You've got to build relationships face-to-face with people who own self-storage facilities and develop that trust in that relationship, and then eventually you have a shot at least giving an offer when that person's ready to sell. And that works, but it takes a long time, doesn't it? Surely gotten to the point where the people, at least that I run across, for the most part, that are prospecting for off-market deals sound like car salesmen you see on television, or they sound like politicians, both of which have a very low rating in the public's eye. So what do you do? So I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking, what could someone do to really be unique and stand out differently from people that are prospecting? So most people, when they reach out to me, and if I talk to them, which is very rare, I mean, I can count on one hand the number of people in the last 10 years I've talked to that are prospecting for buying myself storage. And they usually want my numbers, my occupancy rate. If I give them any time at all, they're asking for my P&Ls. And, you know, most people aren't going to do that. I didn't want to do that. And I'm in the business of marketing prospecting for off-market deals. I've done a number of episodes how if you could get like a random daily close, which is not a very invasive thing to get, unless whatever the last close you did in your operating system, just send that to me and I'll have everything I need, or most everything I need, to give a really good valid offer. But I've discovered, at least today when I'm prospecting, A, they don't want to do that, and B, many of the people that we're prospecting to or for, they don't even have operating systems. So I was thinking, how could we stand out and be unique? What if you could give an offer on your first call? Would that stand out at least? So I thought this through, and I've got some steps that I might suggest you try if this is what you're attempting to do, find off-market deals. Step one, if you find a deal or an owner that you want to call, or preferably even go see, better yet, do a little research first. So you may be prospecting for small self-storage facilities in smaller markets, let's say 20,000 square feet or so. And let's say you're looking for people that don't appear to have a website. Those are always great ones to prospect for because they're, 50 years behind what's going on in the storage industry today. Well, do a little research first. Go to a subscription you have. If you don't have one, get one. Let's just say Radius Plus. So you go to Radius, and you might not even find the facility that you're going to be calling on because it's so small. Radius only has facilities over a certain size. But you could look at other facilities in the area, kind of get a sense of what the rental rate is in that particular market. And you can get a square foot per capita number, not exact, but you'll have some kind of feel for the market. You'll know or be able to reasonably know whether the market's underbuilt, overbuilt, or in equilibrium. Then go to Google Earth or Google Maps and look at the facility that may or may not be in Radius. Sometimes if they're in Radius but they don't have a website, they might list it and give you the square footage, but they won't have rental rates. But see if they don't have a website, go to Google Maps and estimate how big a facility it is. A lot of these tools literally have a measuring device where you could measure the length and width of the buildings, and you could get a rough idea of the size of it. So with your subscription service, you know in that market or in that trade area what the average rents are. Is it worth going for? Do you want to be in a market with rents like that? If the answer is yes, then you're calling the owner and you know, or reasonably know, three things. One, how big a facility is, either pretty close or approximately. Two, what the rental rates in that area are or could be. And three, is it appear to be overbuilt, underbuilt, or at equilibrium? So when you call the owner, you have that information at your fingertips. Step two, call the owner. Now, better yet, go by and see if you can talk to them. Don't talk to managers on this. Try to get in touch with the owner. I would say something like, have you thought about selling? I'm looking for storage in the area, and from what I can preliminarily see, your project looks like a great one. Could fit exactly what we're looking for. And if you got a price that you like today, would you be interested in talking about it? And then shut up and listen. There's a thing called a sacred silence. In a sacred silence, the people you're waiting to respond to a question or an inquiry that you've asked, they're moving through some mental spaces. And I always just let them move through the spaces. It may seem like a uncomfortably long time, but I don't talk. Just wait. If they say sure or yes, then go to the next step I'm going to talk about. If they say no or I don't know, which is probably you'll hear more of that than anything else, say, I just need one piece of information from you, and I can give you an offer, a pretty good offer. It'll be a valid offer. You know, I've got to come and see the property, but this is what it would probably be worth to me today. Are you interested in knowing what that one piece of information is? Now, most people at this point are going to say, sure, yes. So what do you think that one piece of information is? Ask them, last year, what was your gross income? Or if you don't know that, what was your gross income last month? Now, you're not asking them for occupancy rate. You're not asking them for net operating income. You're just asking them for their income. Most people know how much income they took in or close to it. If they say they don't know, say, you can probably give me an educated guess. What'd you bring in last month? And whatever number they give you, just take it. This will all be verified. If you move towards a contract, obviously, it'll all be verified in the end. But just take what they give you. Many people don't know what their operating expenses are. Many people don't know what their net operating income is. Many people don't know what their net income is. But most people know how much that brought in last month. Then I have a calculator or spreadsheet ready to go. Now, it depends on what type of facility you're calling on. Like if you're calling on a 20,000 square foot facility in a small market, odds are that would be an automated facility. So I know what our operating expenses are for automated facilities. If you don't, use industry averages. Let's just say that's 33%. Or let's say you're calling on a larger 60,000 square foot facility where you're going to have a manager, you know, mixture of climate control, non-climate control. Use your expense ratio. If you don't know what that is, use industry averages, 38 to 42. I'd probably use about 40. Or if you're calling on a large multi-story climate controlled project, I would probably use 45%. So if, let's just say in this fictitious situation, the owner said, we brought in about $25,000 last month. Great, here's the math. $25,000 times 12 is $300,000. That was probably close to the gross income per year that project's producing right now. Not what it can produce. And then I would do a real quick math in my head based on what I think the square footages are. I would divide that 300,000 by, let's say, 20,000 and come up with my per square foot rate. And look, I already know what the per square foot rate is or the average is in the market area. And I would be able to real quickly tell if he's overpriced, underpriced, that type of thing. But I don't even do that to come up with my offer. I would come up with $300,000. This is a small facility, so I'd use 33% operating expenses, which is $99,000. So that leaves a $201,000 NOI in this situation that I would generate an offer on. Given it's probably in a smaller market, I'd probably use a 7.5 cap rate. If this was in a larger city, a little bit bigger project, I'd probably use a 6.75 or 6.5 even. But I'd come up with just a reasonable cap rate, not like trying to get the deal of the century. What's a cap rate? So if you divide that 201 by, let's say, 7.5, that's $2,860,000. And I would say, from what I can tell, just from this phone call, and what I can see on Google Maps, I think we'd be willing to pay somewhere in the range of $2.8, $2.9 million. And then, shut up. The sacred silence. Now, all this will be verified during a due diligence of a contract. Now, at that point, if he says, well, maybe, or yes, or I don't know, it's close, but a little low, say, well, great, I could probably pay more. I mean, there's a number of ways I could pay more. I factored in a certain estimate that I'm going to be doing some capital expenses. I need to come out and see what the property's shape it's in. Don't even know your occupancy rate, but I would want to know if there's some upside for me. Or, you know, there could be terms. If I had better terms, I can pay more. So there's a lot of ways we can do this, but this is just all cash to you. This is what I see is kind of close to what I think we could pay, and we can maybe pay more. I'd love to come and meet you. Now, the goal here is not necessarily to get the final sale price. The goal here is to establish if this guy, this owner, will really sell to you under certain conditions. And then begin to build the trust in a relationship, or get him a contract or an LOI real quick that day. If the facility's close by, bring it to them so you can look at the facility and begin to establish that relationship and begin to build that trust. Now, I'm just thinking of ways that we can stand out from the herd as we are marketing for off-market deals. I got to tell you, if someone approached me that way, if I got a phone call like that, I would probably, I'm not saying I would sell it to them, but I would probably listen very closely and be interested in what they had to say. Now, if they just say no, then I would say, well, I've got a mailing list. I keep track of what's going on in the market area and the storage business. Would you be interested in periodically getting information from me, telling you about the market, the sales market, and how storage is moving in your area? Most people will say yes to that. If they do, then you contact them quarterly, just whatever you're currently doing right now. But try to be different than everybody else. This is one way I think we can stand out and be different. I'd be real interested in hearing any other ideas that you might have that I haven't thought about that has you stand out and be different. Good luck in your prospecting for off-market self-storage deals in this era, 2026 and beyond. And thank you very much for your time. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer, which is one of the financial analysis tools we would use after we get a property controlled under a letter of intent or a contract, and really project out, after we've looked at it, what the potential income and upside is of this deal. If you're using Excel, great, but I invite you to look at the Storage World Analyzer. Its reports are phenomenal. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com or storageworldanalyzer.com. Thank you very much, and I look forward to being with you next week.